Podcasting from Sydney, Australia, welcome to Take Control and become the expert in your finances, where you'll discover sound principles and proven strategies to take your financial position to the next level, giving you complete control and certainty in today's turbulent economic conditions. Now here's your host, Angela Dye.
Hi everyone, it's Angela Dye here. Welcome back. I hope you've enjoyed everything so far. On the last podcast, we were talking specifically about what we do with your current financial products and whether we have to refinance them. In this podcast, what we'll do is we'll discuss the products that are actually available and things like interest rates and you know, what they can do for you. So
Angela, how do you actually determine what is the right product for me and what would empower my strategy to move forward as quickly as possible?
Well, it goes back again to what we always say, you know, your goals and your dreams and your budgets and your lifestyle. So the main thing we need to do is make sure that we put in place a transactional account. The transactional account is usually the main account, so it usually sits against the owner-occupied property, and it gives us a facility to be able to pay third parties, do BPAYs, pay anyone, you know, checkbook if we need it. So every type of transaction you would normally have on a bank account can now be available within a home loan account.
But isn't like the interest rate the most important part of a loan?
The interest rate in a loan is only part of a loan. It's like the tyres on the car. You can't really have a loan without an interest rate.
Right.
You can't have a car without tyres, but you need the rest of the product as well. So you'll usually find the cheaper the interest rate you have, the less transactional the loan account is. So low interest rate doesn't always equate to the best loan for you.
Right, so because you've got a cheap interest rate, the loan's going to be more restrictive, and potentially that could be more of a problem.
Yes, yeah. In most instances, that's how it works. So it's more important to look at the dollar amount you pay in interest as against the percentage amount you're paying.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying go out and get a 10% interest rate, but it'll still be within the ballpark. It just won't be the lowest rate you can get, because it won't always have the transactional processes that we need to make the strategy work fluently. So this isn't about you having to go into the bank every single day and do something manually. We need a mortgage product that is transactional enough that we can set things up to happen automatically.
Right.
The more automated it is, the easier it is for you to work with it.
And this is what's actually helping you move along that journey and have, you know, a recurring habit of doing the right thing.
That's correct, because the more automated it is, the easier it is. So you're not thinking about it all the time. It's not becoming a burden to you that every day, now that you're on this new strategy, you're going in and having to do all this finance work on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
If we can set it up once, so the work's done in the beginning, and then from there on, everything just happens. Your wages go in, your income, you know, is associated to where it needs to go, your bills are paid because you're working with your budget account. Everything's fluid.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, life's pretty busy for most of us that are working full-time, and you just forget to do stuff.
You do forget to do
stuff. And the months can roll past, and you might not have transferred money when you should have transferred it, and
that's
you
right.
suffer.
Then all of a sudden you're in arrears.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you haven't done what you needed to do.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't have the money to pay, but you actually haven't had the time to sit down and make sure everything's paying the way it should pay.
Yeah.
So we automate the process. To do that, I need the transactional accounts.
Mm.
Transactional accounts have a higher interest rate than your basic standard loan that does nothing. You can usually get transactional accounts that have no fees, which is a bonus as well.
Right.
A lot of your lower interest rates, although you can do whatever it is you're trying to do, they charge you every time you do it. That's what we're looking for when we're looking for the product that works best for you. They're usually against the owner-occupied property, as I said before. When it comes to the investment loan, it's completely different. We just want a basic loan, interest only, basic loan, doesn't have to have any bells and whistles. Because all it has to do is receive a payment once a month for its interest portion that's due. Whereas on the other side of that equation, you've got the transactional account there to send the money or have a direct debit happen to pay that interest payment. So depending on what part of your portfolio or strategy we're working on will determine what sort of product we put in place.
Is it hard to find these transactional loans?
No.
No?
Most of the banks have them now. What's hard to find is the proper way to use them.
Uh-huh.
If they're used properly, they're like gold.
They're very, very good.
They're very powerful. Some people say, oh, you know, should I fix the rates? Should I have a variable? On your home, we shouldn't be fixing rates. That's my opinion. Some people think differently, but in my opinion, we shouldn't, because it's probably the one we're going to do the most changes with.
Yeah.
And once you fix a loan, you've got restrictions on it. Okay, keeping in mind from the previous podcast, a fixed rate is different to an interest-only rate. Interest-only still gives us flexibility. Mm. Fixed rate stops us from doing things that we need to do. Normally, people don't upscale their investment properties. They upscale their owner-occupied property.
Right.
And that can come into your mind after a meeting with someone on a weekend. You decide you want to buy a new home. You want to get a better style of home that must in a different area. If you've got a fixed rate, you're starting to restrict what you can do. So you're starting to take your control away again and giving it back to the bank.
Right.
So always be very aware of why you want to fix your rate and make sure you understand the downside to fixing, so that you know that if you want to do something, you're not going to be able to do it.
Is there a way to get the right loan so that you've got a good loan structure in place that's going to help you move along your journey and possibly get multiple investment properties without having to refinance all the time?
Well, you don't have to refinance all the time. If your strategy is working correctly and we've set up the loans in the first place on the owner-occupied home, other than the fact that as time goes by, your equity increases in a property because it gets capital value,
yes.
So it grows in value, so you get a more capital gain on there,
mm.
then your loan should be set up so that when you're paying it off, you're creating the deposits and costs, so we don't have to touch it again. So every now and again, probably up to every 3 years, it's a good thing to look at the new products that are out. So if you look at the new products that are out, they give you new possibilities of what you can do. If it fits with your strategy, then it's time to refinance. Mm. If it gives you no added benefit, then we leave it where it is.
Sure. And I guess the finance and the banking industry is very competitive, so products are always improving.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a product today is nothing like the product my parents would have had.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
You just wouldn't have been able to do anything with them. You just made your payment. You know, that's all the bank wanted you to do. That's what they told you to do, and that's what you've done.
Mm.
Nowadays, it's completely different.
Okay, Angela, so that sounds great. Let me ask you this, though. Let's say we've got all the product in place, the right transactional loan and everything, but let's say something unexpected comes up, like a holiday or an emergency in the family, or what if I need to put my child through university or things like that? How does the transactional loan help me to do these things that come up in life?
Okay, well, that's why we have the transactional account, because the transactional account is going to enable us to create cash equity within the loan, what we call redraw.
Right.
So when something unexpected comes along, the redraw is technically your savings that you are now sitting in your loan, and it's earning you the interest rate you're paying on your loan, rather than have it sitting outside the loan and your loan balance is predominantly higher. When you use the money in your redraw to do anything that comes up as a one-off, like your holidays or your children's expenses for education or an emergency of some sort, when you use that, the balance of your loan will increase.
Yes.
But if your money was sitting in a savings account, your balance wouldn't have gone down anyway.
Yes.
So you're better off to have all that sitting in there using your strategy in the transactional account, so that your redraw is benefiting you even when you're not using it. But it is technically your savings that is sitting in the loan.
Right.
So that's the money you're going to be using for holidays, unexpected expenses, and it creates these buffers in the loans as well.
Great. And, I mean, if you were to have it in a separate loan, oftentimes they're personal loans and things, and the interest rates are much higher. I guess you've got an advantage by actually having it all in your transactional loan.
That's correct.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you wouldn't put your savings into another loan. You'd have it in a separate bank account.
Right.
But if you had personal loans and all that, it's harder for you then to pull the money out and not be paying quite a high rate.
Sure.
Normally, in the scheme of things, home loan interest rates are the lower rates out of the lending products.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances. There are the exceptions for non-conforming loans,
mm.
so people with bad credit and things like that.
Sure.
But in the most cases, the interest rates on home loans are the cheaper of the financial product rates.
Yeah.
So you're better off to have your money sitting there, saving your money, and when the one-offs come up, you can pull it out and use it.
Is there any other processes that happen once you've got all this in place that are actually helping you to pay your home off a little bit faster in terms of just using the loan to its greatest potential?
Well, the reason why you pay your loan off faster is because you end up paying less interest, because what you do is you combat the compounding interest on the loan. So if you just make your monthly payments, the combating the compounding interest happens all the time because it's calculated daily, and you would keep your loan for a long term. Once you start to put the extra money into your loan, so your savings as such into the loan, then what happens is the balance is reducing all the time. The bank can only charge you interest on what is outstanding.
Okay.
So if you've paid extra money to your loan, you're not charged interest on that portion. That in effect affects how much compounding interest you're paying. So it reduces across the full term of your loan the amount of interest that's paid.
Is that why people say to pay a fortnightly or weekly payment on your loan?
Well, paying weekly or fortnightly is only a benefit if it breaks the cycle of when you should pay.
Okay.
So it's mentioned in the earlier podcast about, you know, paying weekly. If your loan is set up to be paid monthly and you pay it weekly, you'll have a benefit.
Yes.
If your loan is set up to be paid weekly and you pay it weekly,
no benefit.
There'd be no benefit.
Yeah, so it's about interrupting that compounding interest, which is almost like interest charging on interest.
Well, it is interest charging. That's why it is. That's why it's called compounding interest, because as you get charged interest for day one, it's added to your principal, and on day two, you're charged interest on the principal plus the interest of day one.
Yes.
And so on throughout the month. We break the cycle by putting money into the loan at an irregular time according to how the loan is set.
Yes.
So we should pay on the 29th of every month, but we make payments four times a month.
Yeah.
Every time we make a payment, the balance goes down.
Yes.
The bank can only charge us on the lesser amount, therefore the compounding interest charged for the month is less.
It interrupts that compounding.
That's correct.
And it restarts every 7 days.
Well, depending on when you put it in, yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't go back to the principal amount, but it goes back to what the balance is.
Yes.
Okay, so by default, you're forcing them to charge you interest on a smaller portion.
Pretty clever.
It is clever. Well, that's it for today, John. So thank you everyone for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's any questions from the podcast, please go to the website and send me an email, or you can call the office direct. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to Take Control and Become the Expert in Your Finances with Angela Dye. If you like what you've just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address to your friends and colleagues, richmondresidential.com.au. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. Join us next month for another edition of Take Control and Become the Expert in Your Finances.